MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Rory Kutsaker Jacobson. He's portfolio manager at the Allan Gray Balanced Fund. Rory, appreciate the time today. We chatted almost a year ago. It was February, first week of Feb last year. And I got to say, looking back to February of last year, there were reasons for cautious optimism, but there was a lot of concern. We still had load shedding, local elections, elections around the world. We've kind of swung the other way in the pendulum where we sit here at the beginning of 2025 and certainly looking at some of the returns that we've seen in our local equity market last year, we're kind of almost swinging to maybe a little too much optimism.
Hi, Simon. Yeah, I think that's roughly right. I mean, if you think about where we were last year during domestic elections, there was kind of huge uncertainty around the election outcome. And certainly when you had the emergence of kind of the MK party almost from nowhere, and then the polls were indicating that they were going to get anything between 10 and 20%, and they ended up kind of just over 10%. But I think what the market took extremely positively was the formation of the GNU. So if you look at market returns within the JSE last year, I think overall the JSE did around 13% in Rand. Mm-hmm. But there's quite large divergence in terms of individual sectors and companies. So if you almost break it up into three big buckets, one being mining stocks, another being multinationals that happen to be listed on the JSE, you know, the likes of British American Tobacco, AB InBev, Mondi, and then the third bucket being kind of SA Inc. And there I would include most of our large financials, you know, most of the clothing retailers, a handful of the food producers. And that last bucket did incredibly well. So as much as the JSE only did around 13%, you know, you look at most of our clothing retailers, they did anything between kind of 30%, and then at the top end, Mr. Price did almost 100%, including dividends last year. You know, most of the banks had that double-digit returns. Again, there, the kind of darling was probably Capitec, doing around 60% for the year. And in contrast, you know, what dragged down the overall performance of the market were those first two buckets I mentioned. So multinationals was a mixed bag. So some of them did really well, but then some of them did really poorly. And then broadly, most of the mining companies underperformed. And I think that's very much, you know, a combination of, I think coming out of COVID, they did really well. But then secondly, China's been under pressure. And obviously, the demand for commodities is disproportionately dependent on China at this point in time.
Have we almost gone, in a recent note you put out, you say you're not overly negative about the longer term prospects for South Africa. But has that pendulum on SA Inc., I mean, it swung into a much more expensive territory. Have we gone perhaps a little bit far? And not to dismiss the quality of the companies, not to dismiss the prospects, but in the short term, it has swung hard.
Exactly right. Again, not to kind of pick on Mr. Price. I think Mr. Price is a really high quality business, incredibly well run. But I mean, if you just use them as an example. So at the start of last year, you know, the share price was probably around 150, 160 Rand a share.
Yeah.
It peaked at just under 300 Rand a share. Okay. Now it's come back somewhat year to date. But, you know, so you see growth of almost 100%. And the P multiple went as a result from, you know, you were paying just over 10 times earnings, you're now paying around 21 times earnings for Mr. Price. So you would expect to see, given that significant re-rating, a substantial improvement in the underlying earnings growth of the company. And they've actually put out kind of a quarterly trading statement where top line growth has picked up over the last year, but it hasn't picked up anywhere near the same extent that the share price suggests. I think their earnings growth number or turnover growth number was just north of 10%. Fashini put out a similar number. You know, domestically, sales in SA on the Fashini side in the last quarter have only grown 5.2%. So, you know, when you're growing at kind of 5 to 11%, but your share price is running 40, 50% faster, for us, we think the sentiment has swung from probably overly uncertain or overly pessimistic last year to, in some of these counters now, significantly more optimism priced in. And now, you know, we really have to kind of see that come through. And it's not obvious to us that it will materialize.
That's just it. And I mean, yes, load shedding is for now gone, plus 300 days. The government of national unity is going strong 6 months in. But the bigger issues, you know, structural reforms that are needed, infrastructure challenges, unemployment, they haven't gone. And yes, they might be, you know, infrastructure might be moving at a glacial pace in the right direction. The bigger picture still remains challenging, I suppose, is the phrase.
Exactly right. So I think the one thing that we can celebrate, I guess, that has improved year on year is load shedding. So we've had, I think, just over 300 days without load shedding. But if we look at the history of load shedding, I mean, I think we first started experiencing it in 2007, 2008.
Yeah.
Then we had a period absent load shedding, and then it reemerged again in the early teens, disappeared, reemerged again. So I'm skeptical to say we're completely out of the woods there.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at the other parastatals, they either are in need of significant capital investments and or management changes and or, you know, the operational performance is nowhere near where it should be. And then if you look at the kind of the fiscal side of it, you know, our debt to GDP continues to grow.
Yeah.
So we're sitting at around 75% debt to GDP with interest rates where they are currently north of 20% of all government revenue is now required just to service the interest on that debt, not even to pay down the debt, just to service it. And then, yeah, you referenced some of the other structural factors. I mean, South Africa's got some really difficult long-term challenges that aren't that easy to solve.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is kind of chronic underemployment, unemployment levels north of 30%, over 8 million people that are economically active but unemployed. And if you contrast that with the number of actual income taxpayers is around 6 million people. But even if you carve that up and you look at who pays the lion's share of income tax, I think it's less than 2 million people pay north of 75% of personal income tax. I'm not trying to be bearish here. I'm just trying to highlight some of the actual challenge. And, you know, the education stats that came out last week, I mean, there's some things to be celebrated there. But then there were also, of the children that entered grade 8, 300,000 kids disappear out of the system in the sense that they never made it to matric for those statistics, which is extremely disappointing and saddening.
Yeah.
And so as much as one can be positive about the GNU, I don't think it's been properly tested with a really difficult decision where you might see real ideological differences emerge between the current parties and what that may do to the ongoing GNU. So tying this all together, I think there's a lot of things that could happen in South Africa that could be positive and we could see an improvement in growth. But the question is always, well, what am I paying for that today when I'm buying equities or I'm investing in fixed income and buying, you know, South African bonds? And so if we look at, you know, where we're missing opportunities, we've been probably at the margin in the last 6 months selling down SA Inc. businesses and buying more of the underperforming multinationals.
Yeah, as you point out, that pendulum has swung. There's lots of green shoots, but there's still risks out there, and some of those are big issues that are not easy to solve. We'll leave it there. That's Rory Koseka, Jacobson Portfolio Manager, Allan Gray Balanced Fund. Appreciate the time. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.